Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got, I think, not only an insightful hour for you, but I think we're going to find out how we can stop screwing up. I just had to pull it in that way. This is really going to be a lot of fun. We have got Martha Woodruff on the line with us, and we're going to be talking about her book. That's exactly the title, How to Stop Screwing Up, 12 Steps to a Real Life in a Pretty Good Time. Martha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here. I consider this a major non-screw-up.
Well, I think it's fabulous. Your sense of humor through your book is just absolutely delightful, but I want my listeners to know a little bit about you. You were born in the South. You've gone to boarding schools and college in New England.
Right.
You were in Texas for a little bit, but
right.
Virginia has been your home for quite a long time.
Yes, since the, the 70s? Yeah, since the 70s.
Uh-huh. Now, you have your own radio show. It's always nice to interview a fellow broadcaster. And you're on National Public Radio, Marketplace, and Weekend America.
Right.
But what I love is that your closest neighbors are cows. I mean,
well,
how many people can make a statement like that?
Not only are they cows my neighbors, they find me fascinating. I'll be standing at the kitchen window, and they'll have all lined up at the back fence, and they're just looking at me.
Well, there's something magical about cows.
I agree.
They're just absolutely some of the most beautiful creatures on this planet. Now, your book, when I got the book and I loved the title, I really thought, this is going to be of a certain genre. I was wrong, because when I got into your book, not only was it a personal story about your life,
mm-hmm.
but you put this book together because you wanted to empower people.
Right.
And you have two quotes right at the beginning of your book. One is by C.S. Lewis. And it reads as follows: I hope you will not misunderstand what I'm going to say. I am not preaching, and heaven knows I do not pretend to be better than anyone else. And then you've got a quote from Popeye, the spinach man: I am what I am. And
yes.
I thought, okay, anybody that starts off with two quotes that, you know, two real different, unique approaches like this, I've got to get going. I've got to go through this. And then I got to your introduction, and your first sentence, I thought, was really quite good. It said, one of life's perplexing challenges is that most of us have an awfully hard time not doing all kinds of stupid things we know will make us unhappy. And I thought, wow, that's being a bit candid right at the beginning of the book. This is your modus of operandi, isn't it? Just being that
yes.
up front.
Yes. I life's too short to dither around too much. Besides, I think so many problems could be solved so easily if they were just put on the table and addressed directly. So, you know, I've gotten old and salty. But I am having a pretty good time, I must say.
Well, I'd say so. The cows appreciate it.
Yes, they do.
The book, though, I found had a lot. You have a lot of wisdom in it. But let's talk about you, Martha.
All right.
Because you are the focal point of the book. You put yourself up there in broad daylight for everybody to look at and saying, I'm the queen of screw-ups.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm it. There's not too many that are going to be able to beat me at my game.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit of your positioning of being the poster child for screw-ups.
Well, I think it's contained in that first sentence. I worked very hard. I'm sure there are people who have misbehaved more flamboyantly, though I would stack up some of my misbehavior against anyone's. I think what I when I say I'm the poster child for screw-ups is I spent a lot of time doing things that in my heart of hearts made me unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time and battling through an addiction to even realize that I was doing this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through two marriages and heaven knows how many relationships, heaven knows how many jobs. You know, I was fully empowered by environment and heredity to get along in this world. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was given a lot of gifts and worked very hard to screw up my life in spite of them. So, you know, I arrived at middle age pretty scared, I think, by what I was making out of my life.
You bring up an age of 19. And I think just about any of us, as we have evolved through those teenage years, groan and moan and go, how could I have been so dumb? And you said at 19 you confused arrogance with independence.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting comparison, arrogance mm-hmm. with independence.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become aware of that?
Well, I came aware of it through the 12 steps. I obviously am a member of and a real fan of 12-step programs. And 12-step programs, which I came to through an addiction, you know, we have this tradition of anonymity, so I don't talk about what specific 12-step program
mm-hmm.
I'm a member of. But I, believe me, live, breathe, and eat the 12 steps, not in an ultra-serious, thumping kind of way. But I have finally learned to take some advice and direction from somebody else, and that the structure for that advice and direction is through those steps. But I, you know, I arrived when I was 19 years old. I thought I was in charge of my life. I thought there was no problem that life could present me that I couldn't think my way out of or charm my way out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I confused that with an ability, and that's arrogance, I think. That makes me the poster child for arrogance, thinking I am all I need in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas independence, I think, is where you stand on your own two feet and you contribute to the world without draining too much of the world's assets. In other words, you become part of the solutions to problems that are around you instead of a big part of the problem. That, I think, is what's independent, what being independent means.
Well, I'd like to go through these 12 steps to
yes,
the time
ma'am.
That we have, because I think that many of your points that you have in the book, and for those of you just tuning in, we're talking with Martha Woodruff, in beautiful Virginia, and this is her book, How to Stop Screwing Up, 12 Steps to a Real Life and a Pretty Good Time. And I really like your attitude throughout the entire book, and you did not at any time try to cover up what was very much there. And I think that that is, you know, that's pretty significant. You said step one is that you accept your screw-ups are hurting you and other people,
mm-hmm.
but you're powerless to stop doing them. And I know a lot of people, when they'd hear that word, powerless, I am powerless to stop doing them, their hackle's going to go up, and they say, what do you mean? Everybody has the power to change. Everybody has this. So how would you address that? What does that mean in the first step?
Well, in the first step is where, you know, we were talking about arrogance a minute ago. The first step is, well, perhaps I should talk a little bit about how I came to step one. I was an addict and an alcoholic, and bumping my way through life fairly successfully, oddly enough, until one night my habit and the subsequent bad behavior landed me in jail.
Whoa.
Yes. And, you know, unless you're there on principle, there's nothing romantic about sitting in a cell. And it was, for me, it was kind of the final humiliation. And it was also the end of my kidding myself about where my life was going. I looked at my future with me in charge, and it scared me. I thought, I am going to die a horrible death after I get through living a horrible life, hurting a lot of people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I can't think of anything else to try that I haven't tried. And, you know, as I bumped through life, that was pretty desperate. And hopefully mm-hmm. most of the people listening won't be facing something like that. But I think the truth is that there are habits that we have. You know, it can be, I think I talk about watching a rerun of Law and Order that you can recite, you know, instead mm-hmm. of doing what you need to do. Or eating too much. Or losing your temper as your adolescent child sulks again. And we feel we mean to stop them, we've tried to stop them, we've thought about stopping them, we've talked to our therapist about stopping them, and we keep doing them. And they're causing us heartache. And the truth is, all step one says is name the behavior that you can't stop that's making you miserable. Just name it. Own it.
Yeah, I like the way you said you'd been a spin doctor for years.
Yes.
And for those of you that may wonder, what's a spin doctor? That means you knew how to really spin things around so that they were in your favor rather than looking at them.
Right. And I did it most successfully thinking about myself. You know, I would spin myself to myself. And boy, is that that's a big waste of time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all step one does is says take a deep breath and speak the truth to yourself about yourself.
And that is a big, big, giant step when one's able to do that.
Yep.
Big, giant step.
It's a relief.
It isn't. It because it means that you are exposing yourself. You're admitting you're vulnerable. You are admitting...
Yes.
That you cannot be this super colossal human being, whatever, for whatever reason you have depicted yourself in that way. And you're not even just a number. You're just a part of this experience of life, and no better, no less than anybody else. You're just who you are. And that's a tough one. That really, really is a tough one many times.
But you know, they say the truth shall set you free, and that is the truth. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's Popeye. We are what we are.
Mm-hmm. And that is something so often I think in our world today, there's so much bombardment of what we're supposed to be and what we think we should be. To really do that, I've always said that the development of the individual is one of the most challenging experiences of life because it's not easy. It really takes guts. To be able to know who you are, accept your limitations, accept your strengths, it's not easy. Talk to us about Alice.
Oh, Alice.
I liked Alice.
My buddy Alice. Well, I was raised by non-believing in a non-believing intellectual household in the Bible Belt South.
Wow.
And I didn't go to church or I didn't go to Sunday school. And I can remember in the second grade going in on Monday mornings, my teacher asking if anybody who didn't go to Sunday school, would they please stand up? And on Monday mornings, I would stand up by myself, and my class would pray over me.
Uh-oh.
And it left me leery of organized religion. And I confused this for a long time with being, I also remained leery of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sat in my jail cell and said, I am helpless and I am scared, step two is came to believe that you know, there is a power that can that my brain and willpower are not the only weapons I have available to deal with my screw-ups. I accept that there is an unfathomable power greater than myself that can help me, but I do not have to call this power God. Well, I you know, it's funny. I believe I realized that I came to God by the trail of breadcrumbs that it left, rather than having a wonderful moment when I had an epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
But as life straightened out, and I kept chugging along, and things got better and better, I realized that I had a companion in this, you know, that there was a power outside of myself, but available to me. It was like a partnership, like this power and I had a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my buddy and my ally and my companion in putting this really nice life together. And, you know, I guess it was that being prayed over in the second grade. I couldn't quite say God, but it felt like an Alice to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of God as my buddy Alice.
Well, I like your description of Alice because, you see, my pal Alice is one tough cookie. She requires a discipline of spirit that goes against my well-entrenched, self-indulgent, excuse-making grain. She doesn't care much for such things as creative provocation, passive-aggressive behavior, self-centeredness, wanton outbursts of temper, playing the martyr, doing good works without joy, carrying grudges or resentments of any kind, bitterness, vindictiveness, or harmful gossip. In fact, she's no fun at all in those departments. I liked Alice. I liked it. And you said you developed a habit of chatting with Alice.
Yes, I do.
And so you have your buddy, Alice, which is really
mm-hmm.
great. And then you went on. Step four was losing the excuses.
Yep.
And I liked what you said there. You said we begin taking care of what we've really got going for us instead of what we wish, what
mm-hmm.
we wish we had going for us, or what others tell us we should have going for us. Boy, that's a big one. That's a
yeah.
big one. I know it's been in my own life where there are those people that say, you should this, you should that,
yes.
you should the other. And there was a part of me that rebelled many, many times to a point of self-sabotage because I didn't
yes.
want to have to, I didn't want to do the shoulds.
Yep.
Sound familiar?
Yes, it does. yes, it does. And, you know, the wonderful thing about me, Step 4 and 12-step programs is people look at it and they're, you know, I think in the actual writing of the AA 12 steps, which is the granddaddy of all 12-step programs, mm-hmm. it is to take a searching and fearless moral inventory or something like that, and people's blood runs cold,
mm-hmm.
you know, thinking about that. Well, I thought that a moral inventory, it doesn't mean breaking bad on yourself. It's a balanced look at your weaknesses, yes, but also your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just getting comfortable with yourself as you really are.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think that takes a little bit of living. I've yet to
yeah.
meet a young person in my life experience that has felt that way. When you really get to talking with them, they don't. And I think that's part of what maturation is all about.
I agree.
And I
like getting older.
Yes, so do I.
Yeah.
Then if we really want to wear purple or we decide we want hot fudge sundaes instead of oatmeal, it's okay.
Yes.
I yes. like it.
You know what I like is that I can eat dessert first. I realize this, you know, that if I know I'm going to have dessert and I want to eat it first so I'm sure I have room for it, lightning will not strike me.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous. You bring one point out in the book that I think is really fabulous, and it's about telling nothing but the truth. You talk about
yeah.
secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about personal secrets. You talk about shared secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Let's address that for a moment or two.
All right. Well, personal secrets are ones that I keep from you or keep from myself. And I need to, and keep from Alice, keep from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an old hackneyed saying, but you know, sayings get hackneyed because they're so true.
Yes.
That we're only as sick as our secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think working the 12 steps, you tell all your secrets to yourself, to your God, and to one other person, unless it's going to do damage. And I think there are shared secrets. I don't have many shared secrets, but I do have some where I think somebody else's privacy is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I think I just have to be contented telling myself and telling my God.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you can't do more damage to other people in the name of straightening your own life out, I think.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I also found a technique that was a very good one, and that is if you write out what those secrets might be, just write it out, put
yes.
all the emotion behind it, and then have what I call a burning bowl ceremony, which I know to my listeners is very, many of my listeners, that'll be very familiar, and you just release it. You just set it and watch it burn, and it's released, and it's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good ritual, if you will, a very good process. Now, letting go of the old. This is a biggie for a lot of people. It's sort of like having excess clutter in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Letting go of the old. Now, why was that so significant for you, and why is that part of the STEP program?
Well, when I first saw that, I'll be willing to change. Well, hello, let's look at this. My life was kind of a mess. I wanted it to get better. Of course I was willing to change. And then I realized that what I was talking about was that I would be willing to change. You know, that I couldn't, here comes another hackneyed expression, but you can't expect to do the same things in the same way and have the results be any different.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you are willing to change, when you say, I'm going to do things differently, it's like stepping off a high cliff into a void. You don't know exactly where you're going to land. You have to trust your higher power.
Mm-hmm.
That the landing will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helped me to develop this attitude towards my life. My life is a great adventure that only I get to have. So I wasn't pleased with the way it was going. Why not trust God and be willing to change, be willing to do things differently, be willing to let go of the old way that wasn't working?
And then you follow up with another step of letting the good times roll.
Yes.
And that is, okay, we're going to move with what we need to do and just really, just let things flow. Then step 8 is, oh no, not that.
Yes.
And I like that portion. That was interesting because you said to make a list of the people that you've harmed and willingly accepted for your own peace of mind, you need to make amends to each of them. Now, maybe those people aren't around, or maybe they don't want to talk to you.
Right.
So how?
I have an ex-husband like that.
So how'd you deal with that?
Well, here again it goes back to control. All I can control is my own heart and my own efforts. And, you know, I wrote down every schmucky thing I'd been involved in. First thing I had to do was accept that I didn't care what the other person had done wrong. That's not my concern. My concern is what I could have done differently or what I did that caused pain. For example, with the ex-husband, there's going to be a lot of he said, she stuff, has mm-hmm. said stuff with any thoughts about ex-husbands. Well, just forget about what he said and concentrate on what I said. When you can't make amends to another person, You have to look at it, say you're sorry in your heart, say you're sorry to God, and learn from it about, you know, and not ever do that kind of a thing to another person. Mm-hmm. And that's the spirit of amends.
And then 11 is a direct line to Alice. And I want you to share the story of your dad, because in this chapter, I just loved how you portrayed your father. He said he came home from San Francisco with tales of multicultural adventures, and one was about the panhandler.
Yes.
You've got to tell that story. That
right.
is absolutely wonderful.
The panhandler was, Dad was the real touch for panhandlers, and one asked him, tapped him on the shoulder and asked him for a quarter. And Dad didn't have a quarter, so he gave the guy a dollar, and the guy gave him change, and then the dad took the change, and then was walking along the street, and he felt somebody tap him on the shoulder, and the panhandler asked for his change back, said that was all nonsense.
I love that. I just thought that
was isn't life grand?
It is absolutely wonderful. It just, you know, when you think you've got something figured out, you find out you haven't got
yes.
it at all. And then number 12,
yes.
the place just right. I will commit myself to practice these principles in everything I do. And that's what you've been doing, isn't it?
Yes. And sort of examining how I'm doing in a kind of a simple, low-key conversation with Alice every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I screw up, I say, I screwed up, I apologize, I fix it, and I go about my merry way.
Mm-hmm.
And life has been really pleasant. You know, when I was 20, I thought that was the... Boy, was that damning a life with faint praise to say it was pleasant. And now, having a pleasant day where I am not angry at anybody, I don't think I've done any harm, I've dealt with whatever I needed to deal with, maybe accomplished something, maybe had a couple of laughs and a couple of hugs. You know, that is a really, really wonderful day, and I'll take 365 of them a year. I don't need to have a lot of drama and trauma anymore in my life.
My guest today is Martha Woodruff. Her book is How to Stop Screwing Up, 12 Steps to a Real Life and a Pretty Good Time. And there's also her love story with her husband, Charlie, that's
yes.
in the book as well. So this is something that you'll want to read, but it is going to touch your heart, your mind, your spirit. If you know someone that's having difficulties, that's not able to make a breakthrough, you may want to give them the book as a gift. You might want to give the book as a gift to yourself, because if you're going through challenges, it gives you some tools to work with in a very special way. And it is sprinkled with good humor throughout the entire book. And just know that anybody who is out on a farm in Virginia and is happy with cows, watching her while she's canning in her kitchen. You've really got it made.
Oh, Donna, thank you.
Oh, I think it's great. I just love it. Martha Woodruff, do you have a website that people can go to?
I have a blog.
All right, what is the blog?
The blog is called Bouncing Off the Bottom, all one word, .blogspot.com.
Okay, Bouncing Off the Bottom, and give me the rest.
.blogspot.
Blogspot.com. Bouncing Off the Bottom.
Right.
.blogspot.com.
Yep, I think you can just Google Bouncing Off the Bottom, and you'll get me.
Yes, Martha Woodruff has been my guest today, How to Stop Screwing Up, 12 Steps to a Real Life and a Pretty Good Time, and her blog is bouncingoffthebottom.blogspot.com. Martha, it's been an absolute delight. Thank you.
Donna, thank you so much.
This has been a lot of fun. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break in just a moment. Don't you go away. We've got a lot of good things to share with you, and you're not going to want to miss any of it. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and it's a delight to be with you today. If you would like to give me a call, there's two toll-free numbers we have, one for the U.S. and one for Canada. That's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 for those of you in the U.S. For Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, if you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, what we're opening up the lines for is if you would like to let me give you some psychic intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do that. All I need from you when we answer the telephone line is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me do what I do, and then you can ask me a question about anything that you have an interest in inquiring about. And that's how simple it is. So again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Claire Mashika has a delightful poem, and it's so appropriate. Today here in the Pacific Northwest, we're in the 90s, which is unheard of in this area, but every once in a while we get those heat waves. So when I came across Claire's poem, I really liked it, and it had a picture of colored chairs for summer out in a beautiful garden, and there's this big picture of lemonade. And this is what she said: on a lazy summer day with a hot and blazing sun, heaven's found in willow shade, sipping grandma's lemonade. And oh, doesn't that just sound absolutely scrumptious? Lemonade. And there's a number of things I'm going to want to share with you. You might want to have a pad of paper and pen handy, because I found out about some low sodium mixes, that seasoning mixes and sauces that you can fix for yourself. So I thought I'd share some of those with you today, because many of you are in this low-salt type of thing, and you want seasoning and you want flavor for your foods. And I've got some of these recipes that are just absolutely marvelous. I wanted to share them with you. We've got a caller on the line, first name or initial, and where are you calling from, caller?
I'm Sue, and I'm calling from Tucson.
All right, Sue, when I'm watching you, I think you are going to need to take a breather. Actually, I think you are in the midst of having a breather, so to speak, and that agitates you because you really would like to have some things really popping and going on, and it's not popping and doing the way you would like for it to. Enjoy your breather. Take care of those things that otherwise you would not have time to take care of. And you're going to find that you're going to pretty much be able to put things into proper order and into proper perspective within good framework of expectation. But you've got a sort of a slacking off period here that I'm observing. I don't see it as something bad. I just see it as something that you're going to have to deal with. And if you'll get rid of your frustration over the slack, and do whatever you need to do to take care of those things you haven't had a chance to get to, then I think you'll get through this, and then momentum will be picking up in about 2 to 3 weeks. Could be 2 to 3 days, but it's more like 2 to 3 weeks. So enjoy your time. If you have a chance to relax, take a nap, read a good book, whatever it is that's your joy and pleasure, take care of the small stuff. You'll be glad you did. Do you have a question for me today?
I'm working on improving my finances. Do you see that improving?
Oh, yes. I think improving your finances is a step-by-step process, and it's going to take a lot of discipline, and it's going to take the willingness to follow through and do certain things consistently. And I think then you're going to discover your finances are going to compound. What I encourage you to do is to save as much as you possibly can. Put it in a savings account, buy bonds, I don't care what you do, just put it somewhere so you have the cash. And then look at where you would like to put your dollars. Give yourself a year, 2 years, and then look at where you'd like to put those dollars so that you'll have a compounding effect that will enable you to see more of a result. But it's going to take you some time. And it's not good or bad. It's just going to take some time. And I'm seeing some extra income coming in next year. This time next year, I think you're going to find your finances are going to be better than the previous year. But you just need to take it one day at a time, dear. One day at a time, and hold to the discipline.
Well, thank you so much.
You are welcome, Sue.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in like Sue did, the telephone number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for everyone else, it's 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, I do want to mention, coming up in August, we have a spectacular happening, and that is the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. For those of you who are listening from the state of Washington, for those of you listening in different parts of the country, if you love activities like this, hey, come on out. It's going to be the first 3 weekends in August. I've been associated with this wonderful organization for a number of years, and it is absolutely a delight. And we have costumes we wear, and they are just fabulous. We probably are going to have another warm month, so when you come out, just be prepared. You're going to have those hot temperatures that are going to be out here in Washington. The hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and the fair is held out in Gig Harbor at the Mentor Creek Ranch, which is at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. And there's all kinds of things going on. It is so magical when you come to the fair, because when you walk through the gates, these wonderful, wonderful gates of the fair, walk through those castle gates, you then are immersed in an environment that's just fun. It is. There's something going on all the time. The costuming is spectacular. You have vendors with products from all over the world. You have people that show how they do things, how they made things at that time. You have costumers that if you want to be dressed in costume, you can find them, and you'll be able to be a part of the whole event if you so desire, just by renting a costume for a day. Special passes for the family. Do pick, put on your calendar August 4th, 5th, 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th of August. I'm so excited. It's so much fun. And I get to dress up. How much better can it get? This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Stephen. I'm calling from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Stephen, when I'm looking at you, I really feel as if you're at a big crossroad right now. Now, what I like is that you're sort of sitting down in the middle of the crossroad, and that may seem, you may say, gee, Donna, why is that a good deal? You say, I'm sitting down, because I think you're trying to make evaluations. You are trying to assess information that you have to evaluate what is going to work for you. And you're willing to have the patience to do it. A couple of years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. A couple of years ago, you would not have done that. You would have been very impetuous. You would have just made a decision for the sake of making a decision. But you're saying, not this time around. I'm on the road and I want to make a change, and you want to evaluate what your options are. You're going to be able to figure it out, I think, before the end of July. And then you're going to need to make a plan of how you want to proceed. In other words, you have a plan for action. And I think you're going to find yourself doing quite well. One of the aspects that you must let go is blaming a certain aspect of your environment for your circumstances. You need to dump it, because the longer you carry that, gee whiz, it's because of them or this situation I'm here, you've got to get rid of it. Learn from your experiences, work with today, and then move forward. But I appreciate your patience and willingness to examine the facts, and that is paramount. That is so good for you to do. That's good thinking. What question would you have for me today?
I'm involved in a new opportunity in the real estate mortgage industry to help drive a new product into the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I need some kind of guidance or some insight to if this is the right path or right career path for myself.
Well, I think this is part of your career path. I don't think it's the end-all of end-all. And
mm-hmm.
without knowing too much about the product, I would say at this point, what you are looking at, you really need to think through. And you need to put yourself in the positioning of other people that you're going to be sharing this with. If you have a couple of friends that you can talk with about this, ask them how they would feel about it. Don't try to sell them anything. Just say, if this were proposed to you, how would you perceive it? How would you look at it? Would you be comfortable with it? Do you think it's a con? What is it that comes across to you?
Mm-hmm.
What is your first feel? If you do that, then you'll get a good insight about how you will need to approach people with this. One of the things that you are learning here is how to think differently. You're thinking outside the box. This, to me, is like a training ground for you. So I think you are evolving through this, and I would encourage you to just be an observer. Don't try to make it the end-all of end-all, because it isn't.
Very good. I appreciate your time.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Good. I'm glad. And I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And, Stephen, how did you find out about the radio show?
One of my friends from California called me and said, call her right now.
Well, bless their heart. I appreciate
it. I was something else, and I just stopped what I was doing and picked up the phone.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we're grateful for your friend. Thank you for finding out about us and follow up and calling. And we hope you'll have the opportunity to listen to the show.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Stephen. You have a fabulous day.
Thank you. This is
Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here are the telephone numbers for the U.S. of A. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for everyone else, 530-876-3222. And again, all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then after that, just let me do my thing, and then we will be able to talk about a question you might have. And I also wanted to share with you something cute that I was sent, because I want to be sure to get some of these mixes that I told you about. So if you've got that pad of paper and pen ready, that's great. But I received this from Rosemary. And she said, this explains why I forward jokes. A man and his dog were walking along a road. The man was enjoying the scenery when suddenly it occurred to him that he was dead. He remembered dying and that the dog walking beside him had been dead for years. He wondered where the road was leading them. After a while, they came to a high white stone wall along one side of the road. It looked like fine marble. At the top of a long hill, it was broken by a tall arch that glowed in the sunlight. Now, when he was standing before it, he saw a magnificent gate in the arch that looked like a mother of pearl, and the street that led to the gate looked like pure gold. He and the dog walked towards the gate, and as he got closer, he saw a man at a desk to one side. When he was close enough, he called out, excuse me, where are we? Oh, this is heaven, sir, the man replied. Wow, would you happen to have some water, the man asked. Oh, of course, sir, come right in, and I'll have some ice water brought right up. The man gestured. The gate began to open. Can my friend, the man said, gesturing towards his dog, come in too? The traveler asked. Oh, sir, I'm sorry, but we don't accept pets. Well, the man thought a moment, then turned back towards the road, and he continued the way he'd been going with his dog. After another long walk at the top of another long hill, he came to a dirt road leading through a farm gate that looked as if it had never been closed. There wasn't any fence. As he approached the gate, he saw a man inside leaning against a tree and reading a book. Excuse me, he called to the man. Do you have any water? Yeah, sure. There's a pump over there. Come on in. How about my friend here? The traveler gestured to the dog. Well, there should be a bowl by the pump. They went through the gate, and sure enough, there was an old-fashioned hand pump with a bowl beside it. The traveler filled the water bowl, took a long drink himself, and gave some to the dog. When they were full, he and the dog walked back towards the man who was standing by the tree. What do you call this place? The traveler asked. Oh, the guy said, this is heaven. Well, that's confusing, the traveler said. The man down the road said that was heaven, too. Oh, you mean the place with the gold street and the pearly gates? Nope, that's hell. Doesn't it make you mad for them to use your name like that? Nope, we're just happy they screen out the folks who would leave our best friends behind. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Don't you go away now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone number to call in to 877-876-5227 for the U.S., 888-815-9756 for Canadians, 530-876-3222 for everyone else. I know we've got a caller waiting. This is Donna. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. My first initial is S.
And where are you calling from, dear? And you'll need to speak up a little bit louder.
All right, just a sec. I'm calling from L.A.
From L.A.?
Yes.
Okay, and your first initial is S?
Yes. S.
All right. Great, that's fine, dear. Okay, The first thing I'm looking at with you is, this is such a simple statement, don't sweat the small stuff. You've worked through what appears to be a lot of trash. You have been systematically attentive to what needs to be taken care of, and I think that that is fabulous. I want you to keep on keeping on. You'll be very glad that you do. You are in what I think is a very intensive cycle. It would not surprise me if this cycle goes on for 6 to 8 months. Do the diligence necessary. Assume nothing. Take care of what needs to be taken care of. You're going to have a few bumps as you go along, but that's okay. That's not a bad thing. It's just what you're going to need to go through. By this time next year, you're really going to feel like you've pulled it all together, that you have what you need to have, that you're getting done what you need to get done. And that is extremely important for you. There are some family issues that I think are going to be coming up, and I want you to take care of yourself. I think you're going to need to see a dentist. I think you've got something that's coming up with the teeth, once that's taken care of, I think you're going to realize that you need to have a fairly consistent check program on the teeth, like maybe once every year, maybe once every 2 years, where you really have a thorough exam. It will make a difference. Why it's vulnerable at this time, I don't know, but it is. Do you have a question for me?
Oh, you're right on point. As a matter of fact, I have a dental appointment for Thursday, and I'm very attentive to my dental situation, and I'm following through. It's very important to me.
No question about that, because this is something you need to be attentive to for a good deal of time.
Yes, yes. It will be an ongoing procedure. Let me ask you this, Donna. I go through a thing with deja vu that I get to a point, it's like, is this real? Did this happen before? It has gotten to a point where it bothers me. I shouldn't say it bothers me, but it makes me ponder very deeply.
Oh, I think deja vu, when one like yourself pays attention to it, it's a very good thing to be alert to, because part of what's happening is that with the deja vu experience, you're also being shown that your intuitive processes are beginning to open up. See, I think you for a long, long time have denied your own psychic ability. And what has happened is you've gone through so many emotional whiplashes over the past 10 to 12 years that finally, you are lowering your barriers, and your nervous system is open and receptive, and this is excellent. There's nothing wrong with it. I'd make a suggestion to you, and that is to write down your experiences. These are important because some of them may take you into a time zone that you may not be able to identify right away, but will be identifiable later on. So if you can do that, it helps the conscious mind to be more accepting of the experiences that you're going through. And I just think this is the tip of the iceberg. I think it runs in your family. I'm seeing the women of your family having quite a bit of clairvoyant ability. So I think you're opening up into a whole new venue in your life.
Yes, I'm right on point with what you just said. And being somewhat clairvoyant, on 7/7, this is what I know. A couple of days ago, 7/7, I experienced a change during the night. The whole from that point on, it's like the tuning has gone up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I'm feeling I'm somewhat apprehensive, but it's like something is telling me just. It's like a ride. Just lay back. You know, just enjoy it. You're going to see. Don't become apprehensive or afraid or anything, because this is part of your growth. This is what you've been striving for all of your life. You've been asking for awareness.
Absolutely true. I couldn't have stated it any better. So, as you have been advised, be aware, be present with it, be unafraid. And when you can make a note about it, it really makes a difference.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
My dear, I'm going to have to go.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much, Donna. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm so delighted that you called. Have a fabulous day.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
All right, bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. My goodness, I didn't get to share those recipes with you, but that's okay. And I want to remind you, for those of you in Washington and or in any place of the country, if you like the Washington State Renaissance Fair, if this is something, this is coming up. I'm going to be participating the first three weekends in August. I'll be there dressed in costume to fit the stage that we are in for that time zone of experience. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So go to the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair. You can put in Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, FAIRE.com, into Google, and then you'll be able to get all of the wonderful information on it, the family tickets, etc. So I want to be sure that I gave you that information, because I don't think I did a few moments ago. And you'll be hearing me talking about it every day, because this is such a fabulous event. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're much appreciated. I appreciate my guests. I appreciate you. Life is a gift. Open up your spirit and let it shine, because you're a light that's needed in this world. There's nobody else like you on the planet. Shine brightly. Have a fabulous day. Talk with you tomorrow. My guest tomorrow is going to be Elsie Hornby. So this is America. Talk to you manana. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
She's a little bit crazy, a bit lazy. That's okay, take my advice, treat her nice. And if you want to stay, she's been around up the road and down. She wasn't born yesterday.
Good afternoon, and I like to say good evening, good morning. I don't know where you are, but I know we go round and round the world with BBS Radio. And this is Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love it when you call in and ask questions. And when we look at your life and what's going on in your life, what we like to do is look at the energy fields that you're using, that you're running, that you're reacting and using just very unconsciously or subconsciously, and how these magnetize the reality that you're living in at this time, how these magnetize events in your life, how they attract the situations that create the drama to actually transform the way energy runs in your body, mind. So today we're doing another lesson on energy. I love it. Next week, we're going to talk about Fire the Grid, and we're going to talk about traveling the world over and working with people in different countries around the world with a wonderful music therapist, acupuncturist named Susan Bradbury, and she's going to come in. We're going to do Fire the Grid in the morning and then talk about Fire the Grid, global consciousness, the energy of thinking globally and making a difference globally and perhaps releasing us from the incredible bell curve of greed and economic domination that has gone on. I sound like a politician. My personal politics is really all about change the energy, change the reality. So we're going to really do the big global one next week. So this week, we're going to do just you and I and learning what it is that we're running in our world that's creating the kind of drama that we have. And after we do the structures and do a little bit of chat, I'm going to encourage you to call in with your questions. I don't like to do predictions because predictions are meant to be played with. I will do them periodically so that we can look at what's kind of out-picturing from this incredible vehicle of light that we are and whether we're... I have a caller, but I'm going to do the structure first, and I'd like you to hold your call, maybe make a cup of tea and be on hold for about 10 minutes, okay? Thanks, I appreciate that. So what we're going to do is talk about how you and I take in energies through the essence of our being, through family of origin, through the universe, through interactions and reactions to one another, and the collective consciousness. We're going to talk about all that kind of stuff, and we're going to go into, and I shouldn't say stuff, we're going to talk about that kind of reality or the aspects, the energetic aspects of reality as we create with it. And we're going to go into the vibrational forms called the structures that my guides love to teach. And other people are teaching versions of this as well. These structures are meant to be a meditative forum in which you can enhance your own manifestations. You can do purification, you can do cleansing and clearing in these, and you can actually do a lot of healing work on yourself and others. So let's take a minute, close your eyes, unless you're driving, and I gather we'll be able to listen to computer radio and be driving pretty soon, so that's not so weird, is it? So close your eyes and let's all take a deep breath. And with the help of the guides and angels, we're going to enhance the vibration of our structures. So focus above your head, perhaps a mile and a half, and see there a golden ball. Sometimes it's kind of lit with a white-blue radiance, too, from the platinum light and the plutonians and all these different more radiant lights that come with gold. And focus on the ball below the base of your spine, perhaps 20 feet. And draw a filament of light from the upper ball through your body into the lower ball. And now around your waist, perhaps 8 feet in radius, create a series of these golden balls that creates a circle around your waist. You can just feel them radiating. Now you got a whole circle of golden balls around you, almost waist high. And from the upper golden ball to the circle of golden balls, drop many, many filaments of pink light. And as you do that, you create a kind of a canopy pointing upwardly. Feel it for a minute. You can feel the energy of these radiant strands of light. Good. And now from the circle of balls to the lower ball, another myriad of these wonderful radiant lights. And now you're in a structure. Feel it. Doesn't it feel good? And now whilst you're in it, create a crystal, an etheric crystal ball, and notice the colors that show up with that etheric crystal ball. And as you sit in the center of it, you can feel the energy change to a powerful, feminine energy. Yes, and enjoy that. It softens things. But it's the infinite potential for creation, isn't it? And you move from there into the double tetrahedron, that is a three-sided pyramid pointing upwardly and three-sided pyramid pointing down. And you're inside of it. It looks kind of like a diamond. And spin that. Just spin it and spin it and spin it. And as you spin it, you can feel it. You can feel your body pick up the frequency. And whilst you're spinning, look at this magical screen in front of you. And on that screen, see little movies of what you want to create and manifest in your world. Maybe it's world peace. Maybe it's health, improved health, relationship. Of course, money. Infinite supply of resources. And look at the other issues. Some of you want to create an invention and have it marketed. Some want to write books. Some want to simply be loved and loving. Some want a rapid healing of a broken limb. Or a house to be cleared out and sold. Or the manifestation of a great dream of some sort. Just see it. Feel it. Literally experience it. You can even smell it. Good work. Now draw your attention back into your spinning tetrahedron. Is it still turning? Is yours still turning? Some of you are, some of you aren't. Doesn't matter. Stop in it just for a moment and spin it one more time. Spin and spin and spin. And feel your body's frequencies clear and move to a higher level. And welcome back. We're starting right off with a caller, and I hope you waited all that period of time and did your manifestation with us. You're on the air. Maybe you're not on the air. Anyway, so that's one way of taking charge of your reality. The thing about a structure, or even when you call in the directions, the seven directions, all of those ways are styles of bringing forth the kind of energy that you prefer, that you want to do in your world, the kind of energy that you want to take with you. All right, I'll just finish this thought, and then I'll talk to you. The kind of energy that you want to have wrapped around you as you go into the world so that you can magnetize, draw to yourself the reality that you prefer so that you can feel safe, and you can also really contribute to life on this planet by raising the fields and frequency in the collective conscious, which we know isn't always that wise about how high its frequency runs. So thank you for your call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Veronica. This is Kim in Louisiana.
Oh, hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. It's later there than here.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have a question?
I guess I kind of called about John Michael, and I was thinking if you could kind of give me a read. I think I had a dream or something that said that there's another piece of the puzzle for his educational issues. Like, he's got a, I don't know if I even told you, he's got a tracking disorder, so he sees double about a third of the time. And then a neurologist said that he's got dyslexia. So he's got those two things going on. Then in the dream or somewhere, someone, which I think it might have been a dream, but I'm not sure, somebody said to me, there's a third piece of the puzzle that you don't have yet. And then when you do have it, things will get a lot better. Hmm. Well, John Michael might be disassociating a little bit because... And I know, remember you said that he was from Andromeda?
Mm-hmm.
He had an extreme emotional positive reaction to something that happened in our lives recently, okay, an announcement I made.
Hmm.
And then later, when I asked him about it, he was sad instead. Now, I understand we can have a range of emotions, but I actually had one of his special educators kind of say a little bit the same thing. She said she presented a tool to him, and it was like one of those reading bar boxes with a ruler in it,
mm-hmm.
colored, and she presented it to him one day, one afternoon, and the exact same time the next day, he had acted like he never saw it. And so I'm thinking, and she said that was really odd because he asked what it was called again, and what was it, and why did he have to use it, and what did he use it for, and you know. And so I'm wondering if there might be something going on.
I think there is. It's like you said, he sees double, but
yeah.
It's almost like he experiences two sides. I don't think he's, don't get me wrong, he's not schizophrenic or something. But
well,
his awareness is really not there sometimes, and it is there. And I'm seeing it running down through the spine, right into the base of the spine. There's something in the central nervous system that's just not connecting properly.
Yeah.
Now, the good part of it is he's extremely intuitive and will get a lot of information, a lot of response
right.
from his intuitive self. But that'll keep you confused, too, because he's, by nature, very peaceful and expanded.
Yeah.
So he'll do it from that, and then he'll do it from a contracted point of view, you know?
Do you think it could be an organic thing, like maybe an exposure to mold or some sort of environmental toxin or sleep apnea or something?
You know what I think? It's just pressure and tension. And that he's very, he's acutely sensitive, don't you?
Yeah, he's very acutely sensitive.
Okay, well, the difficult thing about being sensitive is obvious. It's hard to manage ourselves. But the really exciting thing is that he's, as we said, very intuitive and very in touch with the higher purpose of things. And I think life on this planet's pretty hard.
Yeah.
And the amount of dramatic circumstance in his home life,
yeah,
as you
I agree.
Know, has been rather trying for him.
Yeah.
And I would believe this, when I watch him, he goes out of his body or out of the presence of his normal central nervous system quite regularly.
Oh, gotcha. And it's just a normal thing that he does. And so I had a
that's
psychic...
how he copes, you know.
Yeah, that's a coping, right. And I had a massage therapist who told me that my husband's that unconsciously he's a very strong spiritual presence and that he's been psychically attacking my son in the dream world because of all these other issues, obviously, that are not. And I tried to do some work with that, and I did, and I felt, like, good. And then John Michael said, yeah, the bad stuff had stopped in his dreams, which is really cool, and I'm glad about that. But so I guess I shouldn't be worried about two different personalities or two different... I mean, I know they have to both answer to John Michael because he never answers to anything else. I mean...
Well, you know what, Kim? I'm worried about the amount of pressure he's under.
Yeah, he is under a lot of pressure.
And when you talk about psychic attack, I want to kind of reduce the drama of those words and say his father has an ability to send his thoughts and feelings and his worries to him,
his
which
negative.
We all do have, you know.
Right.
But because your son is so tied, you know, so attached to his dad in many ways, right?
Right.
It's easier. So instead of calling it psychic attack, I think you could call it empathetic permeability or something, you know?
Gotcha.
And the other
okay.
thing is that your son, I just see it's very, and people at home think about this in your own lives, that he kind of whips out of his body and has this really sweet and very brilliant way of experiencing life. And then when he goes back into his body, he has some conflicts and some limitations and afflictions. So it can look like he's a dual personality. But I think you're going to find him integrating a lot of those parts by the time he's about 13 or 14.
Gotcha.
He's probably, he's a really advanced soul, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I know it's very, very hard to raise somebody like that.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for us to stay attuned to which aspect they're bringing up right now.
Right.
And you got to know, and you do know, that it's hard work for him the way his father's been ill, for people who don't
yeah.
know, for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And is moody, right?
Oh, extremely, right.
Yeah.
That's
and the boy is very sensitive, very sweet, very supportive.
Right.
Even wants to get his dad all better.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's true.
How old is he, 9?
John Michael? Yeah, 7.5.
Oh, he's 7.5.
Yeah.
So he has a little time to go.
Yeah.
But you know by...
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah. I'm just watching him come out of his body sometimes, and then he's just this amazing little blissful soul.
Uh-huh.
Happy as can be, isn't he?
Yep. He is.
Then he has to contract back in or fit back in.
Right, into it.
Yeah.
So I was going to... I'll hang up and let you answer. I was going to ask about... I had kind of a... Like, everybody's talking about ascension, right?
Right.
Okay. So... What's necessarily going to be different about us if we all ascend together? You know, how's the world really going to transform? I mean, I guess that's my question, and maybe I was kind of, I mean, maybe everybody's vision is personal, but I was hoping maybe you could maybe make that a topic of a future show if you don't want to deal with it now.
I'll deal with it a little bit. I'd like to do a little more time and research on it so it can come up in another show, but we'll talk a little bit, and so if you want to listen on the radio, that's great.
Okay, great.
And I want to say thanks for your call and many blessings.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Veronica. Have a blessed evening.
And you too.
Thanks. Bye.
I mean, that's a really interesting question, and I don't know if any of us really knows the answer. If you read a lot of things on ascension and listen to a lot of channels and so on, you'll find there are very few really, well, they're kind of consistent, but in detail they're not consistent. And that's a lot of the channeling work and so on is metaphorical and energetic and also very much a part of how much our frequency has gone up, if that makes sense. Change the energy, change the reality. I love that line. I say it a lot because it's so simplistic and it really reminds us of what's going on. My understanding of ascension is that we're moving into becoming more and more multidimensional, that our frequencies are going up. The base frequency maybe not, but a lot of the reactive energies that we've been living are being pushed out by a rising tide of consciousness that's coming through us, in spite of ourselves, a lot of us. It's making things kind of crazy. The universal flows are shifting and dynamically pushing on us as well so that they radiate at a higher level coming through us so that we are bopped and pushed so that we release and clear more and more of the energy fields that we've ingested in the form of reaction. So as we keep moving up and moving up and moving up, we move out of the consciousness that we have understood in our planet and we become much more unlimited. I don't know what's going to happen on the planet, but I do know this, that my guides have shown me that there will be concurrent realities within a few years that we will see. This is how my guides speak. I'm not promising you this is exactly third-dimensionally correct, okay? So play with the metaphors here or accept the spiritual flow of this. But they say that there is going to be sort of concurrent realities where many of us will disappear to many other people. And that's not because so-and-so is the chosen one. It's that the reality that people choose to live in eventually coalesces or amasses in such a way that many, many beings choosing to live in a higher consciousness reality seem to separate from the main. And as far as I understand, I've heard many discussions about whether what it appears that is that during that time, many will appear to have died. Meaning they will, and I'll be with you in just a moment, thank you for your call. Many will appear to have died, but they will just have moved to a different level of energy, and these will not be apparent to these over here. So we can talk about that. We have a caller, and we'll see what your point of view on this is. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I am from the state of Washington.
Oh, good. You're in my state.
Yeah, I'm from Mukilteo.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
You know where that is?
I sure do. I'm right near Bellingham.
Oh, okay. About an hour away.
Yeah, howdy, neighbor.
Yeah. Hey, Veronica, this is the first time. And I just found BBS a couple of days ago.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Hey, I have... since you've been talking about, like, spiritual and changes that's going on.
Yes.
You know, changes in people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I was young, very young.
Well, you sound pretty young to me right now.
I'm 51.
Oh, good. You're just a kid.
Thanks. I was born and raised in Korea.
Oh.
And I was at orphanage over there.
Oh,
okay,
my.
I'm half and half mixed, Norwegian, Korean mixed. So anyway, I used to be, okay, I had this telepathic thing going.
Wow.
Okay, at a very young age. Then when I came over, okay, my full name, now this is kind of weird too. My full Korean name, when you put it all together, is 11, number 11.
Okay.
My birthday is 9/29. When you put 9/2/11, 2/9/11, okay. Then, of course, 1955, which is double two. And then when you hit 11 and 11, it's double two, okay.
Mm-hmm.
11 follows me everywhere. And my Korean name starts with K, which is 11. My American name is Caroline. My mom named me with K instead of C, which is a start with 11. Okay, it just follows me everywhere. And then when I moved here, this place I'm living now a year and a half ago, which I didn't even cross my mind until a couple months ago, and then I realized, oh, my God, this is 11 too. 5213.
Isn't that wonderful?
Address.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, okay, well, I was adopted at 14, and about a year after I was adopted, I think my whole system had to settle and learning new languages and, you know, all that. My telepathic thing really kicked in.
Great.
But the thing about it is, it actually would show me the stuff that's happening with my family, if somebody got hurt, car accident or something, it would show me as they were happening at that moment, okay?
Mm. Wow.
Not before, it's at that moment. So anyway, I would relay those things to my parents, okay? And then, of course, you know, they get a phone call that afternoon or evening, Carolyn did tell us this, exactly what she said is happening. Then at 27, this continued on. At 27, my daughter, she was 4 years old. I was at work. I worked part-time because I didn't like to be away from my kids too long because they were still too young. And I literally saw my daughter getting hit by a car while I was at work. So I told my boss, I had to go. I got to go now. My daughter just got hit by a car. She goes, what do you mean? You didn't get a phone call? I said, no, I don't have to. I just saw it. You know, I said, I'll explain this tomorrow. Well, anyway, sure enough, when I went back to pick her up, they were all at the hospital. At that night, I told my whoever I was speaking to, that, you know, all through my childhood, and I said, I don't ever, ever want to see this again.
Hmm.
Ever. And right. You know, they didn't.
You've never seen it again?
No, they never showed me. However, my angel continued on presence, like something happened. Instead of showing me, they would show up. Angel would show up, but wouldn't tell me, but just show up and then leave.
Mm.
So until about 2 months ago, I started looking up on the internet, okay? Something told me, I don't know, from one site to the next site, it's all relating to spiritual, okay?
Great.
Up until this point, I didn't have no interest. Well, I was always spiritual, but I had no interest in any type of getting involved. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And about 2 months ago, I went into one site, and that site lead me to another site, which happened to wind up being at the Lee Carroll site.
Hmm, great.
You know who he is?
Yeah, the Indigo Child.
Right. Mm. And then Kryon. He channeled with Kryon, right?
Yes.
So something told me to listen. I decided, you know, something sparked my interest to listen one of his channeling. And you know what, Veronica?
What?
That evening, I had this huge urge to meditate, which I never done.
Well, good for you. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, did I ever enjoy it? I mean, I went to bed that night. I had the most, I don't know how you say this. The out-of-body experience one could ever experience. I went out to this, you know, out of space. And Kryon himself took me out there.
Wonderful.
And I was questioning for last, like, year or two, what is God?
Mm-hmm.
Who is God? Because people always arguing about God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he took me out there, because all I wanted was peace on earth. I hate this war thing, you know, what's going on.
Right.
And he showed me, first thing he did was he showed me three earths. He says, first earth was just complete black. Then the second earth he showed me was half black and half white. I mean, bright white, like a light.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third, he showed me it was complete white. I mean, it was like shining like a star white.
Mm.
It was so bright.
Mm.
And I turned around, I said to him, oh, my God, we did it. Peace on earth. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah. You know. Then I was shown supernova being exploded out there. I was shown, this is the whole time, you know, while I'm out there, I was shown earth changes. I was shown, this one thing, it was just tremendous. Anyway, this whole thing I was shown was totally life-altering for me. And mm-hmm. that next morning when I got up, from that point forward, okay, night before, I had opened up first time in, you know, how many years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
That next day forward, I noticed I was smelling this, like, burnt matches every time, like, if I'm in a kitchen or I'm in a bathroom. But this, like, a sulfur smell almost had this mist, like, cool mist with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm sitting in a computer or anywhere, or when I'm laying down, I would smell this. It dawned on me, it was my angel who's trying to go, hey, I'm here. Hey,
beautiful.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like, now it shows up with the light. Like if before I go to bed, I say, are you here? And she will flash neon green light on my bed.
Wonderful.
Now, what is all this? Because I opened up,
yes.
Veronica.
It's very wonderful.
Did you ever have people literally sense, angel sense like that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But it's a big privilege, and I feel like, well, I don't know if it's just a privilege, but it feels like it's something to be absolutely honored and enjoyed, and it's going to bring you into your service to the world.
And I had this urge, I had to help somebody. From that day, next day forward, I woke up, I had this tremendous urge that I needed to help people who's hungry.
Oh, good.
So I went out and bought these groceries.
You went and bought what?
I went out and bought a bunch of groceries, dropped it out the food bank.
Good for you. Well,
so I'm getting all these messages.
I think it's just exciting, and it's part of your evolution. If have you seen firethegrid.org?
Yes.
And did you read her story? Because it's not the same, but it's the same. You know, it's a wonderful story of opening up to become multidimensional, which is part of ascension, right?
Uh-huh.
And
I think the whole thing is you have to, I tell all my friends this, you have to open up the door sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be done sincerely.
Yes.
Not because you want the information.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Right.
It has to be done sincerely. And you know that first night when I sat and started meditating, I meditated for over an hour.
Wonderful.
And 15 minutes into it, I don't know what happened. I just started bawling my eyes. What's up with that?
Well, you know, meditation is a huge, we used to call it a great mind dump, you know. It's a huge releasing technique of separating from the fields that occupy our brain and keep it limited, you know. You're really, you're going to move very fast. Did Kryon, or did you learn from the beings who took you out into space whether those are three concurrent realities?
No, I was three different times.
Okay.
And you know what's really weird was my dream. Okay, the first night was the Earth, showing me Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the second night was, when he showed me supernova, it was a Mary Magdalene, the angel Mary Magdalene, took me second night.
Oh, wonderful.
With my angel. And because since I was telling you that, you know, I was arguing with people, I don't know what God is. I know there's something really powerful out there, but what is God? Right? Because
mm-hmm.
everybody has their own notion of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
and they fight, and
my
fight over it.
Exactly. And they answered me my question. They showed it to me. God is a light.
Wow.
I mean, when they showed me the, took me up, and they showed me the God, and I couldn't see. It was so bright.
Wow.
So that answered my question, saying that, oh my God, that is, God is a light. God is a love. And you know, when they showed me that light, it was so bright. It was so white. It had this tremendous love came with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would tell my girlfriend, I said, God is a light. Can you believe it? She's going, you're crazy. But anyway, then the third night they showed me, it was like my dreams were like continuously.
Hmm.
It was like one night after another night. It went on for two solid weeks continuously of a different thing. And show me a lot of different catastrophic events, too, which I didn't like. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That part, I don't like it, but I figure it's probably they had to show it to me. This is what the Earth Change is all about. And this is what, you know, prepare yourself for. And we're giving you information that you need. And, you know, one night, right at the end of the two-week period, this was... Because I usually get up between 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, because I'm, you know, I'm retired. And I was tossing and turning and tossing and turning about 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 in the morning. Every time I would toss and turn over to the other side, I would get this woof of flower smell in my face, which was my angel right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
She kept on saying to me for three times, she told me, you have to move by August 8th, 2008. I mean, three times, making sure she fed it into my brain, or somebody did, okay? And I said, why? Where do I go? They say, Boulder, Colorado. I said, what?
Well, and they say, and I'm going to have to cut this short because I have a lot of radio
right,
to do.
Right.
But thank you for your call, and I'm so excited that you're opening like that, and thank you for sharing this with us.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I want to share it with you, Veronica. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for your call.
Okay, bye.
Have fun in Boulder. That was really interesting. She, you know, waking up is what's going on right now, and that's why we're talking about energy, too, because it's a style of waking up and becoming more and more attuned to the infinite potential. When she's talking about love and talking about shifting dimensions, most of us are locked in or limited and can't seem to do that because we've been locked into certain energy patterns that hold us in a certain level of consciousness. I think you all listening to Radiance by Design and listening to BBS Radio are familiar enough with energy. So I was just thinking today about talking about energy and what it's like learning to be authentic. Now, our last caller, Catherine, said something pretty interesting, or even just go back to John Michael. Learning to be authentic on this planet at this time is really tricky because we are so fraught with reaction from one another and from family of origin and from past lives or concurrent realities or other people's energy. Have you ever sat beside somebody and really started to yawn and because you've taken on that person's energy and it weighs more than yours at this time? Well, that's just an example. That's an extreme example of what we all do to a degree. We run each other's energy fields all the time. And where you go on the planet, if you go where there's vortexes and vortices, that moves up through your body-mind and you get to shift your energy. So that's an energy influence. I've been to parts of the planet where you go and you get really pulled down, and perhaps there have been wars there or a lot of abuse or something, and my whole body just goes into a really heavy, thank you for your call, I'll be with you in a minute, my whole body gets into a real heaviness, and I like to get out of there and clear, because talking about becoming authentic, it's really, really tricky to be true to who you are when you're running all of these energy patterns that are not your own. We're all living in this kind of vibrational soup. You're a vibrational vehicle of light, but sometimes it's hard to know how to fuel up your vibrational vehicle and then steer your ship to where your authenticity is really resonant with all that you can be. So anyway, we have a caller. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, Veronica. This is Brian.
Hi, Brian from Indiana. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you today?
Really good. Thanks.
I was listening to your last caller, and she's very enthused.
Very what?
She's very enthused.
Enthused?
Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's well, she's really got a lot to be excited about.
Yes, she does. That is just amazing. I was listening to her dreams and everything, and I was like, wow.
Well, one time you called in, and one of my friend clients, people that emailed me after the show, said she was jealous of you.
Oh, there's nothing to be jealous at.
Oh, but it's cute. It just means she was being cute. She was going, I want what he's been doing, so it's okay.
Yes.
We all understand it and pass it on, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So you got a question today?
Yes. I just woke up from a dream today, just a little bit ago, and this one's pretty amazing. I had a dream of all these star systems, these constellations, and they were kind of grouped together, one connected to another one connected to another one. And there was a person, a being there, and they were showing me where we are located, kind of like in the Milky Way, on one of the arms, in the spiral arms. And then it veered off to other constellations. And the one that I remember them saying, and the one that was resonating in my mind, was like all these constellations together and toward the center, and I heard this word called U-versa.
U-versa?
Yeah. U, I'll spell it for you. Is that okay?
Yep.
U-V-E-R-S-A. U-versa. And it was just something that just stuck out.
Did you love the dream?
Yes, I did. I was like, wow, I'm being shown this. It's really neat, all these constellations. But, well, anyway, because I read a lot on this book called the Urantia book.
Oh, right. Okay. I remember that book. I used to read on it sometimes.
That is an amazing book. So much wealth of information in there. But I had to look that up again, what that meant. And I guess that's kind of toward the center of cosmos. And they have the super administration, which they call the Ancients of Days.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just something that just stuck out. I was like, wow.
So your dream is partially about that influence as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Did you have in your dream, I'm just curious about something, was there music or some sounds in the background? When you're talking about the constellations, I hear this incredible music around it.
Yeah, a little bit, yes. It's like a harmonic vibration.
Uh-huh.
It's a, what do you call it, a...
tone.
Like a pulse. Yes.
But they're pulsing or something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's very beautiful. Makes
Thank
me want to laugh. And I feel like it's part of you being expanded and educated beyond the third dimension. So
it feels like I'm being pulled to be shown just all these. I'm not sure if these are the star systems I've been to in past lifetimes.
You know what? You're going to have another dream, and it's going to further your exploration. You're going to know more about it.
Yes, I think
it's very exciting. It's like you're being taken on a tour here.
That's what I was going to ask. When I say that name, can you see where that's at, Universa? It's like in the super universe.
Yeah, it looks like it is a name for this entire collection that you were looking at.
Yes, of all these constellations together.
Isn't it exciting?
That is so exciting.
You'll be calling us from that area eventually.
Like it.
I better continue with my show here, but thank you so much for calling in. You always have a wonderful new phase to share with us. Thank you so much.
I know. Well, God bless. And that fire of the grid, I'll be looking for that to do that meditation on that day. That's just amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it?
That'll be very, very uplifting. I was watching some of that on that YouTube and her story.
Isn't she good? Yeah, that's Shelley Yates.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
But if people just go into firethegrid.org, they can find the YouTube thing.
Yes, I saw that. I was like, wow, that almost brought me to tears, you know, her story.
Did you hear that I'm going to have a guest on next Tuesday, the day of Fire the Grid?
No, I just turned it on here just a minute ago. I didn't catch the first half.
Okay,
okay.
If you're listening, I'm just going to explain all about that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, Veronica.
Thanks for your call. Many blessings.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, this Fire the Grid thing is, very exciting. Well, it's interesting to talk to people who are all relating to star systems at some level. Isn't it exciting? I'm not going to try and explain his dream because he's going to call us and he's going to expand that dream one day very soon, you watch. As far as Fire the Grid goes, it's a very exciting time because the woman who had, Shelley Yates, who had her near-death experience and is in association with beings of light as well, was told that I've got some paperwork here. The grid, it's a collective grid so I don't have the whole definition of how the grid works. My understanding of it is that there's a system, an energy system, which keeps us relatively controlled and limited and keeps certain dominant forces active on the planet and so on. And Shelley's guides were teaching her, her light beings were teaching her that on July 17th at 4 o'clock our time on the West Coast, and you have to go into firethegrid.org and check out the time. I think it's 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time, wherever your actual time is, and to meditate for an hour, because what we're going to do is build the light, and the light beings are working with this, and move it into the core of the Earth and back out and really dismantle or create a new energy grid around the world, an energy grid that is going to be able to energize humanity and energize more and more of the divine power. It will pulse healing energy into the center of the earth, regenerate the core or the heart of the planet, And then it's got something else. I have to go a little farther in my reading here. That humans are like lightning rods channeling God's energy to the planet because we've separated ourselves from our complete connection to Source by not having a fully functioning human grid. So what's going to happen, let's see, if we choose to come together to rebuild our grid, then the natural flow of energy between us and God, God and the earth, and person to person will be restored. Now, I was talking to you about how we take on the people beside us as energy, and that we're just loaded with reactive energy, and that human consciousness sort of weighs us down. And what comes out of the media and all of that kind of stuff weighs us down. So what Fire the Grid is talking about is that we can realign ourselves to create a very uplifting and expanded energy field that will, so each of us are sending the other all the time. Higher frequency energy, human potential is at an all-time high, and that the grid that will go around the world can touch and unlimit people all over the world. It sounds absolutely, I'll be with you in a moment, thank you for your call. It sounds preposterous, but let's get up, for those of us where it's the middle of the night, and fire the grid all together in a great meditation at 4 o'clock in the morning, West Coast time, on July 17th, that's next Tuesday. And we'll be talking about it Tuesday afternoon with my guest, Susan Bradbury, who is actually an acupuncturist who uses a lot of sound, color, all kinds of intuitive tools to enhance her acupuncture. She's very involved with Fire the Grid, but this woman also goes around the world and is working on micro-lending to various groups around the world, mostly women, to start women in their own businesses so they don't need to stay poor or to stay starving and so on. So she's involved in a lot of peace missions around the world doing meditations in different difficult environments, working in Africa, working in Mongolia as a volunteer to help people get up on their feet. So actually, you think about it, it sort of matches her work around the world, matches the dream or the intention of this grid shift. So tune in next week at 4 o'clock, and we're going to talk to Susan Bradbury. But right now, we're going to talk to you because you're on the air and you've been patient and waiting.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi, this is Anna.
Hi, Anna. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, except when my computer decides to dump out the radio show, so then I lost you, and I was busy trying. And I have this question, and it's kind of related to that kind of feeling of, I'm really interested in what you're saying, and I missed it. Part of what's going on for me in the last, actually, 6 weeks, 2 months, is I've been up and down about selling a home that's been in our family for 30 years. And I would like any kind of feedback or assistance how I can maybe give... You know, what's the best way to communicate, like, to this gal, Deborah, who actually called during this time, just as the as I
okay, I'm going to ask for some help. Just if you, Anna, if you just hold on for one minute, I'm going to ask people at home, all you listeners and wonderful participants in the grid shifting,
the
that's
grid,
going,
the larger picture, yeah,
yeah. Anne's home is a big, it has a lot of demands and some drains and some responsibilities and some emotional attachments and some potential for creating revenue and so on. So I'm going to ask everybody at home to take a minute, and this is a really good practice for us to all do with one another. And let's just clear for a second, take a deep breath, and place Anne's home in, let's place it in a structure. Let's do the structure again. Or we can just use a double tetrahedron and put the home in there and Anne in there. And let's just spin it in the double tetrahedron and lift the frequency of this home. The guides are saying this immediately. As we spin it in the double tetrahedron, you can see on the magic screen what it is you'd like to achieve with this home. And what the guides are saying here, and I don't believe that we have to stick to everything that they say. They say the indications from this moment are hold on a little while. And you would do well to raise the fields and the frequency and really lift the energy around this place.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's not procrastinating. It's taking some time to resolve. I think they're saying like three issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know. And then suddenly there's a break and you feel it. And it should sell really well, probably later in the fall.
Gotcha.
And there's a change, there's a shift in the market coming as well. Not sure what's happening, but it looks like it starts going up and then it crashes and then it goes back up again, and that's when you'll sell.
Oh, it's volatile. But can I just say one thing? There's quite a bit. We're just finding out about the huge termite damage, and I do want to deal with that. So I'll put a lot of light around me how I'm going to resolve that. That may also... But I hear what you're saying.
Well, they're saying immediately that you need to get the help. The people that you talked to recently?
Yes. In fact, there's somebody that came yesterday that was so fantastic to start that. So I'll be talking to her. Just send me some light. Probably in the next few minutes she'll be showing up because she wanted, you know, she was saying, look, I've got clients that can come in here, but I'm backing away. I'm just backing.
Just wait a little while. You'll get more money also. I'm asking everybody at home to remember this talent that we could actually go into those termites and the consciousness of the termites and slow them down. I'm not saying don't follow through with your termite exterminator.
Right.
But I'm saying get the energy going toward that.
Gotcha.
Don't allow yourself to believe the whole thing's crumbling. I don't know what you're waiting for, but you need to wait a little while is what they're saying.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, and I will appreciate next week on Tuesday and the bigger picture, I call it. Yeah.
Great. That's
Thank
wonderful.
You.
Thanks for your call, Anna.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. We're talking about how we get so... I wanted to... It's funny, Anna's call, because I wanted to talk about the belly area. I'm thinking of two couples in particular, one of each couple is extremely spiritual and metaphysical, understands energy and wants to move energy. And the relationships have big problems. And what I wanted to talk about was what's recorded in the belly. In our body minds, and our bodies are full of reactive energy, reactions that came from past experiences, whether it's other lives or whatever. So we judge each other all the time. You're this way and I'm that way, blah, blah. But the reality is that we've got these investments we've made in old beliefs through traumatic reactions. And I notice in both couples that I'm going to talk about, it's something to do with the belly and the male. So we're going to use that as an example. But Anna's call is about a house that is absolutely replete with information on the belly level. That means the subconscious, family of origin, the holding patterns of the past are all sitting in this house. So even though she's not in a male-female or a marriage relationship or an intimate relationship, she is with this house. This house is really triggering a whole lot of subconscious stuff for her, making it very difficult. So it's kind of a funny segue into talking about human relationships, intimate relationships, and the belly or the second chakra as it holds and records reactions from gosh knows when. So I was interested in a couple, and she's very, very spiritual. And like many of us on the spiritual path, we have been trained and taught to figure out who we are and how to release and get more powerful and emerge as a more and more powerful being. And, you know, it's really funny because sometimes, and I've said this before, I think on Jackie's show, that sometimes what happens is we get closed off. We don't realize that we're so busy being together that we keep ourselves in a bit of a vibrational, I won't call it a cocoon, but it's more like a structure of our own. So we create a vibrational structure of our own. And the other person that's trying to get in can literally bounce off of that structure. And I saw this in one woman. And then her partner, as she's growing big and strong, this guy, who's incredibly powerful, has a very big pain or a wounding, probably came from another life as well as his early childhood, that keeps him, when you go too close to him intimately, he kind of flings off and becomes very, very powerful in the world, almost like this is a hot thing, and it functions like a It's like a reaction or a grenade in his belly area, in his energy belly, that is. And then he shoots off into the world and does something amazing and very powerful. But we could say it's really funny. What drives them to do that stuff is the need to get away from the vulnerability or the craziness of what could go on if he goes into a very vulnerable space. So whilst this couple was working out how to become better intimate partners, it would really help to pay attention to the fact that as she demands or wants or deserves, in fact, a deep, vulnerable intimacy with this fellow, what she's doing is coming toward him in a very scary way. Why scary? Because she's going to undo his way of coping with his fear of intimacy. And that's what we do to each other. We bring up in each other some of the deeper woundings and the deeper scars, and that creates huge reactions. So if we then continue going toward that guy and that very, very powerful, sensitive, and brilliant man who is not very good at intimacy, if we keep going toward him, asking, telling, and certainly beseeching and setting him up to show up to talk about this thing that is absolutely terrifying to him, you're going to get somebody who's got volatile reactiveness, who's trying to get away from you and making you the dragon. And you'd have to be the dragon in his world, because when it hits our subconscious that way, deep in the belly like that, then people are, it's all a life and death. It's all about life and death for our consciousness, not for our thoughts and our logical part, but for the deeper part of our consciousness. So what I'm saying is how intriguing it is, and you look at these relationships and you see how the one who's well-intentioned and wanting to be powerful and wanting to share that power and can't really figure out why you won't talk about it is actually threatening in a murderous fashion the very person that she loves, because he's got this deep wounding and is reacting away from it. So as I said earlier, it's kind of like he's a slingshot into the world to stay away from that. Now the question is, can they get beyond it? My understanding for all of us is where we invoke or bring up in other people such intense reactions, it's really good to drop inside and really feel that and really exaggerate that, to really feel that in your own body. So for example, for her, and she's probably not listening to the show right now, but it would be to call up in herself the actual terror of having someone close, terror of talking about it, because she's going to have some of that in there. The more she overcompensates and tries to resolve it in the logical, outgoing ways, the worse it gets. So it's like if you can find those places, I think we have a caller. I just want to finish this one thought. If you can find those places inside, call them up, feel them, and command total release, you can probably get along better. Okay, you have a call? I'm overdue, so we'll see you next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Email me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, with your ideas, your comments, and